This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hockey! Yeah.
My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
Well, that was a day late and a dollar short. You could have predicted that. If you're looking for a ton of positivity about beating the San Jose Sharks barely, you ain't going to find it here. Judd's Hockey Show. It's Judd. It's AJ. Kirill Kaprizov saves the day, as he is capable of doing, with a hat trick tonight. And the Wild beat the Sharks 4-3. They now, after a disastrous week in which they lost to Carolina, and what was a good game, actually, and then they laid an egg at Nashville, and then they couldn't score in St. Louis. They were 10 points behind both the Kings and Nashville going into tonight's game against the Sharks. The Wild trailed consistently throughout this game, finally came back to tie it at 3, won the game, and they are now 8 points back. But, Age, a lot to get to here. Let's start with Kirill Kaprizov, who absolutely, against a team like the Sharks, who, you know, flat out aren't good, he can do what he didn't do against the Blues, because God knows he had opportunities. He can bury the puck. He did 3 times. I just saw a comment that you put up there. That's a big 2 points. Sorry, I'm not so sure it's a big 2 points. You needed to not embarrass yourself in Nashville. Quite frankly, you could have won last night in St. Louis. You're going to play some bad teams. You're going to beat them. You're so far back now, and we've talked about this. You're so far back now in the amount of 3-point games in this league. I can't get excited about the 2 points. There are things I want to talk about, though, some of which impact the future. And here's my first question. So the Wild comes back. They win 4-3. State of Hockey fires. Players all leave the bench to go greet Gus, who was not good tonight. Sorry, Gus, you got to make a few saves. You didn't. And then, you know, salute the fans. Here's my question. How many players saluted the fans for the last time? Because the Wild doesn't play again until Thursday. They're not home. I think they're at Arizona on Thursday. The trade deadline will fall at 2 o'clock on Friday. So the question is this. How many players played their last game in a Wild jersey tonight? Because I just saw Bill Guerin, and I'm hard-pressed to think my guy, Billy, had his mind altered by anything he saw tonight.
Oh my God. If you're sitting at home now in that love seat of yours and you just, you know, you're finishing off like, you know, a Sunday night beer, you grabbed your second, maybe your third out of the fridge, you watch the Wild come from behind. They erased a couple deficits. Kirill gets the hat trick and you're feeling like, you know what? This team can make a push. This team's got the guts. This team, they can do it. They're built for, let me stop you right there. You just had to have your best player in franchise history put the team on his back to beat the lowly San Jose Sharks, the AKA Wild Light, with the likes of Mark Edward Vlasic and Anthony Duclair. Like, think about who scored goals in this game. Nico Sturm, Michael Granlund, Anthony Duclair, Kirill Kaprizov, and maybe the most forgettable goal of the night, Freddie Gaudreau. This game was just so sloppy. It was so low intense. I think you said this on Twitter. There was intensity to this game. Like, no. This was the sloppiest. Like, I can't be happy about this at all. It was turnover after turnover. Brock Faber turnover leads to the Anthony Duclair goal. Multiple turnovers lead to the Kirill Kaprizov hat trick goal that led to it. The power play goal, we're just not picking up by Granlund. The power play goal there, nobody's picking up the guy in the middle blocking Gus. And, you know, Gus, you probably need to have a little bit better set of eyes and, you know, duck around, try to make a stop. But the lack of just solid hockey in this game was appalling. It was just so bad. I did not really enjoy a second of this game. And how many players? It's tough. It's tough because, frankly, by his own doing, Bill Guerin has kind of locked in so many of these guys to where he probably wants them gone. He just can't do it. He just can't do it. So how many have played their last game in a Wild sweater? I would like to think, and I think more people are going to be open to this now than possibly like a month ago. I think Gus is gone for anything at this point because he just looks the past.
He looks awful. What's he going to get you now, though? Like, my whole platform was based off of a competent goal. That Duclair goal was awful. And I know, you know what? Faber's play has dropped off a lot.
It has.
Russo tweeted when somebody asked him what was up, said he's hurt, which I don't doubt. He looks hurt. And I am not going to break my streak here and criticize Brock Faber. He has been a godsend, okay?
Mm-hmm,
something's
mm-hmm.
up, though. He doesn't look as – he looks slower. He's making mistakes he didn't make. Perhaps he's just tired, too. But I think he's banged up. All of that being said, the Duclair goal, which was Faber's fault as far as the turnover went, that's a stoppable puck. Like, yeah. If you're going to make the playoffs, you got to stop that shot. So – yeah, I mean, Gus could be traded, but I feel like my dream has been blown up because I don't know what he gets you now because he certainly is not playing like a guy who could be trusted in the playoffs, and he's playing very much like a guy who put together a career season last year and now is a shell of that guy, at least consistently. So that's a problem. Here's the one thing we don't know. We don't know if Bill Guerin's going to go to agents and players and see if they will waive their no-move protection or no-trade protection. My hope would be that he would at least broach that with a few guys. Interesting tonight. Now, Marcus Johansson got hurt against the Blues. I don't know mm-hmm. what's wrong or not. Freddie Gaudreau was hurt against the Blues. Evidently something lingering. He came back tonight and actually, as you said, scored that goal. Johansson, though, without him, I hope as a human he's absolutely fine. As a player, it doesn't – I mean – keep him out. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Matt Zuccarello, a late scratch tonight, and according to Michael Russo's report or tweet or X, I don't know what the hell you call it now, Zuccarello was a personal thing. So I don't know what's up there. I mean, but yeah, as far as what we saw, this game to me, in which, by the way, both teams dressed 11-7, which is not as uncommon as it used to be, but still both teams was interesting. This game tonight through at least two periods plus felt like October. Like there was no intensity. The fans, there was actually more intensity in the stands than there was on the ice. And as you said, the Sharks are god awful. But, mm-hmm. you know, I have thought the Wild, how they've operated, would come out tonight and score five goals. It'd be 5-1. They damn near lost this game. Iron John said, I could see Zucky saying, move me, please. I'm going to tell you right now, if he did, he's gone tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Zuccarello would be a great addition to a playoff team. And I actually will go back and say, I think that Ryan Hartman as a bottom six guy on a playoff team would be a guy that could help you. Like if he's in the infrastructure of a good team, this team's not good enough. You know, to just be upfront about it, Freddie Goudreau's not going to help anybody. Like, you know, like if you could trade him for a bag of pucks, which you can't, I'd consider it. But I mean, there are a few guys on this team. Let me ask you this one. I got this message from on Facebook tonight.
Okay.
I won't use the guy's name because I don't know if he wants his name used or not. And it's something we talked about previously but haven't broached in a long time. Do you think there could be an offer that would be almost impossible to pass up for Jake Middleton? He has, I don't think he has any protection. He is, you know, obviously top pairing,
mm-hmm.
but you're going nowhere right now. And I'm just saying, I'm not saying trade him. I don't want to trade him. So I'm not saying trade him for the sake of trading him, which, you know, hell, if you could trade Johansson, trade him for the sake of trading him.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, with how limited you are with a lot of players, is there an offer you could get, AJ, that would lead you down the path of, I don't want to do this, but it could benefit us, or it benefits us so much for the future that I can't not do it, if you are indeed Bill Guerin?
I say absolutely, yeah. There's definitely a deal that, and granted, you know, that I don't want to say outlandish or be like, well, yeah, if somebody offers you 2 first-round picks,
right.
No, and you know, let's be realistic here.
I
think a realistic thing, yeah, you're going to, because as good as he's been since you've acquired him, honestly, ironically, from the Sharks, he's 28. Right now he's making $2.45 million a year, and he's going to do that for one more season. So after that,
right.
then he's a UFA. How committed are you to re-signing a 30-year-old in what, at this point, I think we're both in agreement where by that point, you have a lot more cap to work with, and you're looking to be in this age of Minnesota Wild hockey where you're on that first, like, real tough stride of our younger guys are going to be taking over here. Do you think a calendar year from now, at this point, Jake Middleton is going to be, like, slotted into your 2025-26 opening night roster? I'm not sure. Do I think he is a good player and right now beneficial to this team? Yes, but the problem is he's almost too beneficial where, and that sounds poor, so maybe that's not the right way to phrase it, but he's not benefiting you enough and in your position to where keeping him and, like, not accepting a trade is worth your while. So I'm thinking long-term, you're able to trade him to a team that, hey, you have him for another season after this at less than $2.5 million. I think, like, Let's Get It says is on a real team.
Yep.
He's at least a top two pairing. I think you could argue based on how things structure and what you're looking for in that pairing, he could be a possible top pairing guy on, like, a top contender. Especially think about, he's a tough SOB.
That's a guy. That's my thing is if I'm a contender that needs blue line help and teams always need them, Jake Middleton as a second pairing with his size, I mean, I'd be willing to give you're right. Like, let's not say, well, top draft pick and this and that and this and that. But I'd be willing to give you a pretty nice return for a guy who can step in immediately, is great in the room, has size, strikes me as a playoff player. And you know, with what you're talking about age-wise, it's an interesting thought. And again, because you have so many guys with no trade, no move protection, he doesn't have it, if I'm not mistaken. And so, like, he's one of the guys, because you obviously ain't trading Kaprizov. I see trade Boldy, they're not going to, and we can talk about him, but you know, because of the age, you nailed it, age. I think that this is at least it's something that you would listen to. Certainly would not, you know,
yeah.
If you call me up and say, I want Boldy or I want Kaprizov, I'm probably like, okay, I'm going to hang up now. And I know there are some of you out there really down on Boldy, and I do want to get to that. But Middleton's the one guy that I probably would say, if I could turn this into a really nice return, because in 2 years, you know, after next season, when you're coming out of cap hell, you should be primed. It's at least an interesting conversation.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I enjoy who he is as a player and everything like that, but yeah, there's got to be a deal where it's just given your options for who you can move as well.
Right.
I feel like it'd be such a loss of opportunity because, like you said, I don't think tonight's win sways Bill Guerin towards the positive aspect of this team. So nope. it would be poor to sit on your hands as Friday at 2 p.m. approaches and be like, well, we're going to hold on to Jakey Middleton. You know, we're going to hold on to Midzi because tarp's off and we got to have the promo nights with the t-shirts and everything like that. That's too bad to pass up. There's absolutely a team. I think that, I mean, I know this is quite a bit, but like, look what Tanev just got. Look what the Flames just moved for Chris Tanev.
Well, they wanted more.
To
be clear, I don't think Middleton gets you a first round pick, but I think he gets you a nice return. And you're not playing for now. And as you said, because of how his contract is and because of his age, that's one where if you can capitalize now, and you're going to get more, just like in baseball, because there's a year left on the contract, you get more now if you trade him than if you trade him next summer.
Yes. And also, like, I'm sure there's a thought process there of, as we're approaching. They're doing the same thing of, okay, let's say this year, what's the figure like looking next? Like, he's not going to re-sign at the age of 30 for less than $2.5 million. He's going to have more, and you're going to have more cap space, sure, but you're also going to have the potential of looking to bring in free agents around that time, because with that, over the past couple seasons, that really hasn't been a luxury of like premium FA guys. So if there's an offer that suits you, I say pull the trigger. Like, as much as I enjoy him as like a player, yeah, and just as a fan, yep, from the I want this team to win sooner than later, I think moving him helps that goal in the long run, as painful as it could be for any emotional attachment that may be there.
Yeah, and I'm so sick of emotional attachments in this town. can you put up the comment from Andrew Rabon, R-A-B-O-I-N, at 8:58? PM. It's sort of in the middle there. Okay. You can't move Jake just to make a trade. He doesn't make enough to justify it. He's also our only D-man with size. That's exactly what I said at the start of this conversation. You're not moving him for the sake of it. You're not moving him to make a trade because there are some guys that I would love to move. In fact, I'd give I'd go stick them by the recycling tomorrow if I could. But with in this case, we're looking at an actual return, and he is also your only D-man with size. Plays into what AJ just said, which is because of his age and contract, there's a real question of how long you're going to keep him for, and if you're not trading him now, makes a ton of sense. So let's play this out. 2023-24 has 20 games now. So let's say with 19 games left, you trade Jake. Okay, your D-man with size is gone. So, who cares? You're not going to the playoffs. You just rolled over and choked in three of your most crucial games when you were 2 points back. You went from 2 points back to 10 points back. Okay, next season to me, all about the future. All about the future. And quite frankly, here's something else we're not talking about enough, AJ. I also think that Bill Guerin has to take real stock of the locker room, because I think what he thought he achieved with chemistry, not necessarily there. So, I mean, and that doesn't mean any one guy is a problem. Like, it doesn't mean any one guy I think we could identify problems previous incarnations of guys that got moved out. I don't know that there's a guy that's a problem, but it ain't like Jake's the captain of this team. So, like, here's what I think we all need to keep in mind. Robbie B, thank you. You're exactly right. All moves are moves for the what amounts to 2025-26 season at this point. That's exactly right. So if you can get assets for that season for a guy that you're probably not going to keep, because Jake might get paid, and I don't know how much I'm going to pay him if I am the Wild and he's about going on his 30th birthday. Mm-hmm. It makes a ton of sense. And I wanted to shop Gustafson before, and I have no problem with that. But I got to be honest, I have no idea with the way he's playing, what he gets you back at this point. Yeah. You know, so I'm trying to think of how do you shop assets that are going to get you returns in, you know, without saying, oh, trade Kaprizov, Boldy. I saw trade Marco Rossi. They're not going to trade their young guys. Mm-mm. And they shouldn't. This is all about finding out what those guys can do. If anything, though, empower them more and more. And unfortunately, you can't do this in mass, but, you know, peel away some of the veterans who are taking up playing time. I do like the fact that after he struggled against Nashville and Carolina, Declan Chisholm was not scratched. He just keeps playing. I like that. Let's see what this kid can do. Ultimately, perhaps he's not a player. He made a nice play to set up the Goudreau goal tonight, AJ. But, you know, I do like the fact that it does look like they are slowly but surely saying, we've got to look at the kids. We don't have to continue to look at aging players.
Speaking of aging players and guys that you might want to move out to get some younger guys some time playing, Caden asks, what about Bogosian? Bogosian's got that 21 team no trade list. He expires after this year. He's a guy that you acquired earlier in the season. He's making less than $1 million, so it should be pretty easy to, for any team that kind of wants to make it happen, to just make it happen. Thoughts on looking to move Zach Bogosian?
If Middleton doesn't get moved, which there's a very good chance, despite the whole litany of reasons we just gave, he won't get moved, I would move Bogosian for a third-round pick in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah. Yes, absolutely.
In a heartbeat. I think you could get a third or fourth. I would compare him. He's a better player because he's a defenseman. But I believe it was the Wild that gave up a third round pick to the Ducks. I think it was in not the next draft, but the preceding draft for DeLaurier. Because Bill likes tough guys. Thank you. So I think it was, I think they gave up a third round pick two drafts from then for DeLaurier. And I would trade Bogosian. And on Zach, have you ever seen a guy shoot more and not hit the net?
I think he needs some sport glasses or something.
I mean, he's got that. Well, and I think he's got a nice shot, but I mean, he loves to go old school defenseman, which, and I don't mind this because I'm so tired of guys passing up good scoring chances, but he loves to go howitzer from the point. And 9 times out of 10, I feel like it misses.
Yeah. I hear that somebody on the ice crew behind the glass gets the daylight scared out of him. You hear the carom off the wall.
Yes.
He's so trigger happy. But
he's a good guy to trade. I would trade him.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk about Matt Boldy, okay?
Let's do it.
Because I do want to talk about him. I have no interest in the Wild trading him. Zero. I still think there's way too much there. He has immense talent. But I want to talk about his second period tonight and his third, because that is the juxtaposition of when Matt Boldy is going hot. I think part of it is concentration. I think part of it's confidence. There was a shift there that began on a power play and ended with the Sharks penalty killers being stuck on the ice. And the Wild did a hell of a job of keeping the puck to my right in the zone. And Boldy, within that shift, fanned on a one-timer. Looked like he had never been, he hadn't held a hockey stick in his life. And then he missed another great chance. And then you could tell in the third period, he came out like, screw it. I'm here and I'm going to play well. Assisted beautiful pass to Kaprizov on Kaprizov's second goal of the game. And then got the secondary assist on Kaprizov's game-winning goal at 16:01 that gave Kirill his 29th goal and the hat trick. And that, to me, is the frustration of Boldy at times, though, because when he is really plugged in and when he is sort of playing with an edge, he is such a talent. He is such a talent. And there's times where I don't know. I don't know if it's concentration. I don't know what. I hesitate to say because I didn't feel like he loafed tonight. Now, the game in Chicago coming out of the All-Star break, he was just awful. But I didn't feel like that was the case tonight. But I just feel like this is the type of guy that when you get to the playoffs, you need him. And let's get it is right. Okay, he's streaky, like a lot of goal scorers. I agree with that. But it goes beyond streaky. He is unengaged at times. He is passive at times. Mm-hmm. And when he's playing with an attitude, like I don't even care if he scores goals or not, but when he's ticked off and playing hard, he's a force. He's a force, and he's more likely he can score, he can get assists. But I thought that those two periods against the Sharks here tonight, the second and third, AJ, I thought those two periods were sort of Matt Boldy in a nutshell, because this guy has star written all over him when he has his head completely in the game. And to me, that's not streaky. That's engagement.
I'll differ from you a bit, because that power play, was that the four minute high sticking call that was like reviewed and then confirmed? Okay. Yeah, that was one of those. I remember saying to myself out loud, like, this is a nightmare power play for Matt Boldy. You just like nothing for him was going right. But what I'll say about that is the effort, I think, was there. Like, it's just it wasn't he was disengaged like we've seen in the past and just totally spaced out, just kind of going through them. He was trying. It's just it was one of those, you know, you have everybody has those bad days where it's like you're trying to get to work on time, but you just can't. Like the ambulance goes by, resets the light, you're 5 minutes late now. Or, you know, you step in that puddle, your shoes wet the entire, like that was that power play for him. But he was trying, like you said, later in the game, a lot more noticeable. He got some stuff together. That third period did look a little bit better, but I'm fine. That's what I want to see from him. Just like, if you're going to have a bad shift like that, a bad power play, especially he was such a focal point of that, where it seemed like trying to, you know, ring it around the boards. Okay, now I missed Brock Faber at the blue line. That's my fault. I killed all the momentum. Or I'm trying to cycle low. Oh, I forgot my luggage. I got to go back and get it. Or a wide open chance on the back. He was trying and the effort was still there. So it is, we're making progress in my mind. And I still think at some point everything's going to click for him. The streakiness is going to kind of subside. Like, it's still going to be there because that's just kind of what you have to, like, that's just the thing. You can't be as consistent as like Ovechkin has for his entire career up until essentially this season. But he was at least trying, which is, to me, speaks volumes, because eventually we're going to take that next step where it's going to be more and more noticeable that it's just clicking constantly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he definitely was trying too. Yeah, I'm saying that Blackhawks game coming out of the break, he was awful. This game, hi Jesse. This game he was definitely 100% trying. But my issue is I want to see him play with that edge every shift, and that's what I feel like he can lack at times. I feel like he came out in the third tonight and was like, "Screw it, here we go." That's the Boldy I want all the time. He doesn't even have to put up points. But what he does have to do is when he is noticeable, when he is physically engaged, I mean, he has all types of talent. And I felt like those two periods tonight were sort of the difference there. But I am not saying he didn't try. And I am also not saying he should be traded. Absolutely not. He's a guy that I want to ride with and find out. And I do think he's going to mature more. So, yeah, consistency is what young players struggle with. It's the consistency, though. The thing that you can avoid struggling with, though, is when you're as big as Boldy, he's got the ability to physically put himself into games all the time, and that's the consistency that I want, and I feel like it's doable. But there's no question, if you look, since John Hines became coach of this team, his stats are really good. So as far as he goes, look, he's going to drive you crazy, but I don't feel like in any way, shape, or form he is part of the greater problem. And I do I do feel like, more importantly, he is part of the solution. Let's talk about the former Wild players tonight.
Let's do it.
Okay, Granlund scores a goal to make it 1-0 on the power play at 1:41 of the second period. And then at 4:56, shorthanded, mind you, Nico Sturm, another, of course, former Wild player, scores a goal.
I feel like, are we obligated to say Stanley Cup winner, Nico Sturm?
Nico Sturm, yeah, Stanley Cup winner. He's good for him. Good for him.
Yes, absolutely.
So, of course, that led you to the thought that it might be Luke Cunnan next, because he was actually the second line center for the Sharks. The fourth line right wing, Kalen Addison tonight, who was given a welcome back on the scoreboard, not a video, mind you, but welcome back to the state of hockey. And then Kaapo Kähkönen, who looked like he had never played a hockey puck before tonight, but of course we know that's not true because he was Cam Talbot's backup a few years back. Kaapo Kähkönen in goal took the loss tonight. He made a few plays that I have no idea what he was thinking, including icing it on that last power play when he freaked out, came out of the net, and I don't know what he was thinking. Anyway, though, you are right. That was definitely Wild light.
Yeah, maybe it's now because I'm older, so I notice it a little bit more, or maybe just the Wild have now being around for 24 seasons. It's like, okay, I notice more players that used to play for the Wild, but there's games where I'm just like, are we just playing the 2017 team? Is that who we're seeing across the ice here? Are we just playing essentially it's like interleague intramurals where it's the guys on the same dorm and it's just like, hey, what's up, Mike? Good to see you. I'll see you at Lit 101 tomorrow. But tonight, we got 10 p.m. puck drop. It's hilarious just to see that. And we saw it with the Coyotes earlier this year. I mean, Nick Bjugstad put up a hat trick against you on your home ice. Matt Dumba's there.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and I feel like there's one more that I'm forgetting that's on that squad with the Coyotes. But it's funny.
Zucker,
thank you. Yeah, Jason Zucker. How could I forget
on the
that?
Yotes.
I'll ask you that. Is that a more common thing that maybe you have noticed here? Like, is that something that's been going on, or is that just funny
What's
enough
that?
This year? Which the congregation of multiple former Wild players on one team?
I think you're right. I'm trying to think of, because when they traded away, when Fenton traded away Coyle to Boston for Donato, which turned out not to be a great trade, but I know why they traded Coyle. And then what? Niederreiter went to Carolina at the time.
Yep.
And Granlund went to Nashville. And so there weren't a lot of guys on the same teams. Here's the issue now. You've cycled through so many players in recent years that I think that's why. Because you think about all of the teams that have been sort of broken up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you bought out Parise and Suter.
Yeah.
In fact, I saw a great proposed trade. Was it TSN? Someone did a proposed trade, who says no graphic, right?
Mm-hmm,
and it was Zucker and Dumba to the Dallas Stars. And someone retweeted it and said, Ryan Suter says no. I thought that was fantastic.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Anyway, let's see if I got anything else in my notes. So Kaprizov, by the way, 29 goals now on the season, 5 career hat tricks. He now has 300 points in 258 games. So that's pretty damn impressive. Got the hats all, of course, thrown on the ice tonight. That's about it for me. But
I've got another thing for you here. One of our favorites, Bobby H., wants to chime in and ask, when do you think the first move happens? No game until Thursday. Then they have that back-to-back I want to say it's Colorado.
Arizona.
Colorado on Friday, after the deadline. But say again?
I'm sorry. They've got Arizona on Thursday, right?
Yep. Arizona Thursday, back to back the next day against Colorado, going out to Denver. Do you think there is a earlier in the week move? Do you think it comes down more to the deadline? Do you have any knowledge on that?
No intel at all. Okay. I think it all depends, much more so than on games, on how hot the market becomes here this week. So, because I mean, Guerin's gonna. It behooves him to string things out, right? Like if he can get two teams to bid on a guy, you know, I will say this: if they have no intention of retaining Duhaime, trading him makes a lot of sense. And he still plays hard. I don't know if you've seen like the camera shots. He looks down in the dauber, man. He looks like he knows he's gone. He looks like he is. And I mean, it's like, yeah, you're young and that sucks because these are your pals, but dude, you might have a chance to go to a Stanley Cup contender. And I'm going to tell you right now, sitting on the bench here in this building on the home bench, you ain't a Stanley Cup contender. So I think Duhaime's probably moved, but I mean, again, if you can get a couple teams, two or three teams to be bidding, you're probably going to take that, you know, as close to the deadline as you can to try and maximize. The only problem there, though, is you have to be careful that teams don't get another player because you tried to drive too hard of a bargain. But I am going to say, here's my guess. I'm going to say I think there might be a trade by Guerin made early in the week and then another one or two on Thursday.
Okay.
And we still don't know, you know, but we don't know. Is he trying to get guys to waive their no moves, no trades? You know, are Gustafson and Middleton potentially being discussed, which would be, especially in the case of Jake, bigger moves? But I'm going to predict that there will be one trade early in the week.
I think there might be one of those, like, maybe smaller in the sense of, like, what a return is. If there is a late Thursday, kind of Friday morning before the deadline move that involves somebody that has a current no trade clause, or we find out that somebody maybe with like a team is on there and it gets waived, that would, I don't know about you, but that would reinvigorate, not that I have lost belief and hope and, you know, trust in him running the front office, but that would reinvigorate my faith in Bill Guerin to, you know, he sees a goal, we're going to make things happen. We're going to, if you're standing in the way of that, we're going to have, or sit down, have a conversation, and whether you kind of want to or not, I'm going to lay out why this is a good idea for you and kind of just, you know, talk you into it, persuade you to waive that. I don't know how you feel about that. And if you, I don't think either of us are off the Billy G, trust train as of right now, but, that to me would kind of prop it back up after a less than ideal off season with a lot of kind of questionable extensions.
Yeah. Yeah. GA007 says, wonder if Flower rethinks being moved. What's your thought there?
I feel like what was it? 2 days ago, 3 days ago only that he,
well, they were 2 points back though.
It was right
before the colossal collapse. C squared.
It depends on who comes calling. Because I think if he wants to go anywhere, it's a matter of Bill Guerin saying, yep, you just put the, you know, have somebody make a call. Right. So if he has some type of behind the scenes discussion with his agent, that's like, hey, make some calls, figure something out. I don't, however, think he will. There's nothing really backing that other than just like a gut feeling of,
sure,
it's only been 48 ish hours. I know they were 2 points out of that time, and it was paired with the quote of like, you know, this is my family here and, you know, we're going to fight and blah, blah, blah. It depends on what Marc-Andre Fleury wants to do in his head. Right. I don't think he has the drive as much to like, I have to get one more cup. I just think he's done more than enough to where I'm not saying he wants to like coast through the end of the season, but I think he's fine with, we're just going to stick it out. You know, we're comfortable here. My family's comfortable here. I don't want to have to go through another mid-season move.
Yeah. What I would really like to know, and we don't know this, and I don't know if he knows it yet, is what his plan is beyond this season too. Is he going to retire? Because if he's going to retire, he might just go off into the sunset. Mm-hmm. He's going to keep playing. Does he want, you know, I mean, there's just the one thing that's an issue here. And I do agree. If he goes to Bill Guerin and says, okay, trade me. I think that Bill Guerin, because they're friends and out of respect, does that. But the other thing, too, is he's not going to get you at this point in time that much back. Like, yeah. What? The Wild traded a conditional first that was a second that ended up being a second to the Blackhawks. You ain't getting a second, in my opinion, this time around. You're probably getting like a fourth. And so that would be done out of the kindness of Bill Guerin's heart and also, you know, what a future Hall of Fame goaltender wants. But I don't think that trade is going to like be like, oh, my God, they traded, you know, Flower for this and got a bunch back. I think he would get you a minimal return at best. If he was playing decent, Gustafson would 100% get you more. Because he signed for two more years, and you'd say, oh, he got a goaltender. But, again, I'll go back to tonight. I thought he was so, you know, you're just not getting the key saves from him. He won tonight, but you're just not getting, so.
Yeah, well, they have, like, 14 shots, 15 shots. It was less than 20. I know that for a fact.
I got the final sheet right here.
They peppered a few at the end with that power play.
15 total shots. They were outshot 32-15.
Yeah.
Yuck. Let's see here. I saw another question. Yep. Thank you.
1017's been asking a couple times. Do we have any updates on Merrick Husnadinov's visa? Yes. From my understanding, they're still waiting on paperwork. I don't know if you have anything else.
Yeah. I saw a tweet from Russo tonight that I believe he has gone to Kazakhstan to get his paperwork in order to come here, and it sounds like there's a hope that he might be on part of this trip this coming week. Now that to me is very aggressive, but I mean, yes, it's he definitely wants to be here. This is not a drag it out. So, and he's been released from his KHL team. So like this sounds like hopefully all systems go. And again, when he gets here, you want to play him, don't want to sit him. You want to play him because you're going to burn up that year, which I'm fine with. But I mean, that also gives you more potential flexibility in trying to move a guy. I mean, if you move Dewar, you can pretty much, you know, seamlessly put Husnadinov into that position, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense. So yeah, we'll see. I'm sure we'll have plenty more shows this week, Age, but it's going to be interesting, and I hope the Wild is active. I think the only good thing last week did was it really made it crystal clear that you should not be concerned about any type of playoff push. I don't care how many of these patsies you beat now.
Yeah, and one more note about Husnadinov. I'm already excited about him. I don't know if you saw Michael Russo's kind of mention about this the other day on the internet about he reached out personally to John Hines and the kind of coaching staff to get the system packages so that while he's waiting for stuff to come through and get approved so he can come to the States and play and work, he's looking to study up so that once he gets here, he already is relatively familiar with the system. This goes kind of back to the initial drafting of Husnadinov, which is like, he's a hard worker. He's got that maturity with him. He's a guy that you want to have in your locker room. And I don't want to say this is going to turn into like a Eriksson Ek 2.0 because he doesn't have the same size as him, but right. He mentally kind of the same thing where this guy is going to work his butt off. And I think people are going to be just really impressed with him once he does finally show up, especially I think it's going to be a lot easier for him than maybe like a Kaprizov, because he's got Kaprizov here who has now adjusted, who's, able to kind of be his older brother in a sense where they're both Russian. He's going to help him kind of get the training wheels off and adjusted to the North American game. And I think once he's here, it's going to be fantastic.
Big time speed too. And I'm going to tell you right now, this team could use some size and speed.
It
needs both of them. It needs both. So yes, he should fit a role right off the bat nicely with his skill set. I mean, it obviously depends on time to adjust and all that, but I think the skill set that he brings here is definitely necessary for this team. So I'm with you. It's going to be good news. And you know, as the guy said before, and he's exactly right, you might not like it, but this is all about 2025, 26. Mm-hmm. This team needs a stud D. with a lottery pick this summer badly. Scott says, absolutely, you can never have enough of those.
Yep,
who can kick some ass. That's what you need.
Luckily, there's a lot of stud defensemen in this draft. The problem is whether or not the Wild are going to be in a position to draft them. My guy, the Russian freak, 6'7", unicorn, Anton Salaev. He's been dropping. I don't know why. I don't understand it, but he's been dropping in rankings. But he's 6'7". He moves like a gazelle.
Because Russians get screwed.
Yeah.
If you're going to leave, they don't play you much. I mean, Hustadinov went from playing, I think, for the top KHL team last year to being in the last year of his contract. He wouldn't sign an extension, which they try and pressure you to do. And so they traded him to Sochi, which was a terrible team. And he didn't, because of that, put up great stats. He didn't change the player. They just screwed him over. So let's get your Zdeno Chara here and see what can happen, okay?
Let's do it.
Okay, AJ, great stuff. We will be, I'm sure, coming to you frequently throughout the course of the week. If a trade does go down, I would imagine that some will. This is, if you're a hockey fan, an absolutely fantastic week. And as always, thanks for tuning in to Judd's Hockey Show. He's AJ, I'm Judd, and we'll talk to you soon.